Not gonna lie, I'm to the point where if I walked outside your apartment right now and there were two transvestite prostitutes, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh.
In our apartment complex?
Yeah.
Just in general. My point is like the point that we've reached.
In society.
Is yours a OnePlus?
No.
Oh, it has the same this is camera the that slides up.
F2
China,
Pro.
There are no such thing as copyright laws, so they just kind of...
They make it good. Yeah. They make it cheaper.
Oh, hey, will you go grab me that green lidded box? Because remember, I wanted to do that. You can just hand it to me for now. Don't throw it and end up breaking a leg or something. Okay.
No, this phone's awesome. It has Snapdragon 865, which, to the best of my knowledge, is the best processor you can get right now.
Yeah.
And it has Android 10, which is the most up-to-date version of Android, I think.
It is.
Okay. I think so, too.
6 gigs of RAM, which is good enough for a phone for me.
Yeah. It's
$400.
It's not a gaming computer.
128 gigs and $400. Yeah. So I'm not complaining. I'm not crying.
It's better than what Elise says. It's the iPhone.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the phone Elise has, or like a top-of-the-line Samsung, is like $1,200 right now. Yeah. This is literally a third the price of that, and you're getting pretty much everything you get out of that.
Yeah.
It's the name.
So,
where did this come from, though? You know what I mean? In terms of the cost, how did it get so cheap?
Because it's Chinese.
Slave. Oh.
For multiple reasons, one of which being slave labor. But also, iPhones are also, Samsungs are also built with,
I was going to say.
Paying for the name.
Exactly.
There.
It's like, it's the same thing.
A lot of it is the brand.
Phones
sure.
aren't it's actually like, that expensive to make. It's like, you know, if you're paying for a Gucci belt, like the belt's not actually that good and better, much better quality than buying something from like a, you know, a regular, like a Macy's or something, but you're paying for the logo, you're paying for the tag, for the box that it comes in that says, oh, this is Gucci. So the same with Apple. It's like you're paying for the little logo on there and then they can triple the price.
Nike's notorious for it. It's all just the little swoosh and that's what you're paying for. It's
I think between Nike and Apple, they pretty much like epitomize what it means to like have your brand... Being able to sell your brand, jack your price up because of
just
it.
Completely gouge people. Yeah, and be like, you want this new.
What
thing?
I do like about this, so it has the pop-up camera, which is cool because you get more screen space.
Yeah, that's
which is cool, but it's not the end of the world if you don't get that. But I think it's cool because like I don't use it at all. Like I don't take selfies or anything like that. But I do use it for face recognition to open my phone, and so I'll like open my phone up. And I'll just slide, and it pops up, sees me, pops back down. It's like, it feels like I'm in a Mission Impossible movie or something. Like the facial recognition, and then I'm in, you know.
It's just so your FBI
and now it's gonna blow up in Aaron's hands because it doesn't know him.
Yeah, he'll self-destruct. In this message, will self-destruct in 10 seconds.
It's like what Gus always talks about, that he has his phone. I think it's Gus or Gavin who has his phone set. You know, with the.
I thought that was a child.
Just
in distress.
The cat.
You were supposed to say under the bed.
Where he's got the it set so that if somebody tries to get into his phone so many times, it completely erases all of the data that's on his phone.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I know. I don't get that at all.
He has terrible friends.
I know. That's all I can.
Or he has stuff on his phone that he's way too insecure about.
I don't know. I thought it was weird because I know he talks about like he keeps a lot of his work on his phone, and to me that seems weird that you would just let it be destroyed. If somebody's trying to get into your phone,
it makes it to where he's got a lot of his stuff in the cloud or emails, you know, that kind of
maybe.
Stuff. And then once
I feel like
the question is, if you have a bunch of work on your phone like that hasn't been released yet, and you're part of a company that like is a pretty big name, is it better to have that stuff destroyed or to have somebody else get their hands on it and like release it in a way that makes your company look terrible?
Probably depends on
the
industry.
Is it actually destroyed though? Is what I'm
But is it accessible from the phone?
Not accessible from the phone though. I guess it wipes the hard drive in the phone. It doesn't wipe it out of the cloud.
Yeah.
So as long as you store everything in the cloud, then you're fine.
Yeah. I feel like the only people who would really need that would be somebody who's working some kind of high profile security job where it's like
they better not be losing their phone.
Drug dealers would need it.
But that's how I feel anyway, is like how many people actually lose their phone that often anyway though? I don't know.
Actually, I lose my phone all the time.
But you don't actually lose it.
No, I'll
you
just
like,
forget
where it
is,
but you don't lose it in public
spaces. I don't lose it like when I go to town.
And that's what I'm thinking is like that's not a feature for like, oh, I misplaced it in my house. That's a feature for, oh, I left it at a restaurant or something.
I've actually done that. I've lost my phone for 2 weeks. If you wanted to keep something safe, write it on pen and paper.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate,
we should probably introduce ourselves.
Yeah. So Welcome back to Limited to Everything. This is a podcast, which you probably figured out by now. My name is Nate Clark. That's Karina Clark. That's Bradley Thomas. I'm returning after about 8 months or Karina however many
Clark.
Months.
You still go by Karina Clark?
Oh, yeah. That's
I got married
Karina
this
Thomas.
Summer.
I don't know when that. Thomas. I don't know if that happened before or after Memento. Wow. But Aaron is also back after his...
Yeah.
And his last name's the same.
It has not changed.
He is still the Hebrew hammer.
Changes.
Yeah. Yeah, after being off the grid for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And then reestablishing contact.
How many episodes have you guys had since I've been gone?
About
too many.
Seven.
We wanted
seven,
to do yeah, third, one, those.
Eight. We've done eight. Okay. Yeah. We've actually averaged seven, like maybe. Almost exactly one a month.
Yeah,
I think.
Guess.
I think we start. Oh no, I think it's
no,
way.
No. It's hang
it's
on.
Been, I think we're going. I think we're coming up on. I think we started in.
We started
in like March of 2019, not 2020.
I know. I don't expect to get these either.
Yeah, I think we started in like spring of 2019, so
yeah,
we're actually
so we're
getting close to 2 years or a year and a half.
Year and a half. So we're not
and
quite at averaging one episode per month then.
And we were gonna do one like.
We were planning
every
to do
2 weeks.
A month.
That's
yeah.
The first like four we released were all 2 weeks
back
apart.
Back when we could still get in touch with Aaron.
Well, when they open Nepal up in, you know, 2 years and you finally go on your mission, you can,
yeah.
We can do more.
Yeah, right. I'll Skype in from.
Yeah.
Well, that would be really difficult to set up because I'd be like 13 hours ahead of you guys.
Also, who knows how your Wi-Fi would be.
Oh, yeah, there's no way it would actually.
Like, dial
the latency
internet.
Would be like a minute.
Nate would get in about five words total. It would be, hi, welcome to Limited to Everything. I'm Nate. And then that would be all we'd have
time
for.
You just lose me. Yeah.
So.
You'd have to go stag.
No,
you'd still be there. You would just be showing up like a minute later in the conversation.
Yeah, no, that's what would be so bad. It'd be like sometimes like news, like the yeah, sometimes they're like super, super.
And then you
even
get that awkward
seconds.
Of them just standing there.
Yeah, they're
waiting.
Both just looking at each other.
Like, so funny.
Got the fake smile. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and 12 dead and, you know, Coke is everywhere.
All right, well, today we're talking about Nightcrawler, 2014 Nightcrawler, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, and Riz Ahmed, or Ahmed, I don't know how you say it.
Ahmed, my man, Rick.
You have to add the
what?
Flynn.
Rick, I'm assuming?
Riz.
Yeah, Rick.
Oh, Rick, yeah, the character is Rick.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right, the tragic character. Well, not the tragic character, the tragic, spoilers, demise of Richard.
He seems more like a Muhammad than a Rick, in all honesty.
Funny you should say that. He also stars in a
Lions.
Movie called Four Lions,
oh,
which is a satirical terrorism movie, and it's absolutely
it's
a ball.
It's so funny, and it's one of those things, though, that you watch and you're like, I feel so bad for laughing at this, but
yeah.
It's so
well,
funny.
Well, the thing is, you know they're in on it, too, just like, okay, this is something that like I actually have... you know, that cultural background, and unfortunately,
well,
part of it is bad, so...
But the question is it... The reason people would have an issue is that you're taking something that is real, like terrorism, that actually kills people, and making a joke out of it.
Yeah, I didn't mean so much the cultural issue with who they have playing the characters. I meant the fact that, like, terrorism is a real thing, and they're making light
well,
of
I mean, I think
it,
the further
so.
We get away from when those events occur, you know, of course we can joke about it. I mean, just think of how many jokes people make about Abraham Lincoln getting shot, you know. Oh, sorry.
Or like the intro
Lincoln
to the Eric Andre
shot.
Show where Abraham Lincoln comes out
and
shoots him.
JFK, you know, anybody. So
yeah.
I think the first
No, I know,
it's
true.
The more
well, anyway.
About it.
It's a hilarious movie, though.
Yeah,
but
totally worth a watch.
We're talking about Nightcrawler. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no,
nothing. Right. We're talking about Nightcrawler. 2014. As far as I know, was kind of under the radar when it was released. Didn't get a lot of attention, I don't think. Gyllenhaal stars in a lot of movies like that, though. Like he also stars
indie
in a lot
films,
of big movies,
yeah.
But he stars in a lot of low budget or indie film.
This one
movies.
Didn't feel low budget.
No, it wasn't low budget, but it wasn't. it wasn't like a 20th Century Fox movie.
No,
like,
I was, it wasn't taking surprised.
A few thousand theaters by storm.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that it was a 2014 movie because I don't remember hearing anything about
right,
it
yeah.
in 2014. So I was kind of surprised. I was thinking prior to looking it up as I was going to watch it, I was thinking yeah. it was a lot older. So I
thought it was an X-Men movie.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nightcrawler. Cool, cool.
Hey, they it's could like, be in the same Wolverine? Universe. They could be in the same universe. Oh, speaking of which, I heard. Oh, who is it? Who's going to be the next Wolverine? Did anybody see this? Anyone else
no,
see this?
No, but it's right, too right. soon.
Who is it? I want to say. I want to say Tom Hardy, but I know it's not Tom Hardy. That's just
that,
me wanting it to be Tom Hardy.
Why do you want it to be Tom
I
Hardy?
I want Tom Hardy to be everything. I want him to be James
but
Bond.
But Hugh Jackman is such a good Wolverine. Why
I know,
would you
but
want
like,
it to
if,
be
if he's
else?
Done, he's
also,
done.
Hugh Jackman's not that much young or not that much older than Tom Hardy. I don't think.
Just saying, I think.
No, but if like if he's done being
they
Wolverine,
they need to let it go. Like
it's too soon to be talking about casting another Wolverine. Like you need to give that thing like a good 10, 15 years.
Oh. Never mind. I guess it was a deep fake video.
Yeah. Y'all are following too many like, all these
I just saw a headline. I just saw a headline.
Was
it was Carl
Nine
it was Carl Urban. I just saw a headline. I didn't actually watch anything about it. But
oh.
I guess Carl Urban is who it was, which would actually be a pretty good Wolverine. But
well, Nate got suckered by a deep fake.
Yeah.
There were a few good movies in that franchise.
I never seen them.
Yeah.
In the X-Men?
In the X-Men?
Yeah. Why are you acting shocked?
Because there were a few good ones.
There are a few good
like X-Men
movies.
I didn't know
we
that.
We unapologetically discussed one of them. Unapologetically?
Wait, listen, what's the best? What's the best one off the top of your head?
Did they have one that never released or what?
You didn't like Logan?
I'm about to turn your mic off, boy.
Oh, by far, I think
no.
it's one of the best
Logan?
Ones. What do you think is the best one?
Not Logan.
Last Stand.
Most people do like Logan. And wait, what? Last
Well,
Last Stand.
people who probably like Logan the best are people who aren't really looking for an X-Men movie.
Right.
Though.
People
yeah.
who people who went in after Apocalypse
gritty,
and expected another movie like that.
I've been with the X-Men since it started, and I think it's one of the best. Like,
all right, you're entitled to your wrong opinion, but...
Well, Logan wasn't
okay.
bad, it
no,
just
no, no,
wasn't
I
a...
I know, I'm not
X-Men
saying it's
Origins
bad.
Origins is underrated. I liked it. I heard
it gets a lot of hate. We did a podcast on it, and our conclusion was, yeah, this might not be the best movie ever made, and critically it did pretty poorly, but
yeah.
come on, it's a fun movie.
It is.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
even
is
if it's...
It that movie, but with me watching it with you guys, let's do a commentary on that, and I'm just going to
okay.
roast it.
I'd be down.
It'd be more fun to do The Last Stand because I think that might be the worst one.
I might have seen that one.
The Last Stand?
Is that the one that involves the time travel and?
No, that's Days of Future Past.
That
one's good.
That was actually a good one.
That one I like. Like it takes place in the 70s and like that one's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about that one.
Days of Future Past.
It was okay.
Just because you couldn't follow the timelines well.
Oh,
well, Brian Reynolds even
just
about
assuming he's stupid. That's why he didn't like it. Yeah. Oh, is it because you're a dumb guy?
I didn't mean it like
that's
that.
My wife, thank you.
That's why he married me. No, I didn't mean it because I think you're stupid.
You are saying that I'm stupid. So.
No, I'm not saying you're stupid. I guess I should have phrased it differently. I meant, do you not like the timeline, like the stuff, the way they play with time in that movie, is what I meant.
No, I don't mind that. I like the concept of, time travel and when movies try and do that. I just think that the mesh of actors wasn't great. I really don't like Jennifer Lawrence to begin with.
I'm kind of with you on that.
That's fair, but it's got a lot of Hugh Jackman, which is good.
Oh, I like Hugh Jackman. I think he's
a lot of Michael
Fassbender.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, so...
Let's crawl to the original movie.
We could come back to this conversation.
Maybe we probably shouldn't come back to this conversation. X-Men is like X-Men and Star Wars are like
okay,
two
well,
of the topics that like once
yeah,
we get started,
well,
we got it.
Real quick, what's your favorite X-Men movie?
Probably Days of Future Past.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although to be fair, I haven't seen Dark Phoenix, but I'm pretty sure it's not Dark Phoenix.
Oh, I've heard
yeah.
Terrible.
I think.
And I have seen the New Mutants, and I'll tell you what, it ain't that.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think my favorite is probably Days of Future Past, but I know it's not as much of an X-Men movie, but I really like just the Wolverine movie too.
Oh yeah,
Japan.
I forgot about that
right.
one.
The one in Japan. That's
the Wolverine
really
is really good.
Movie.
Have you seen that one, Aaron?
I think that I've seen scenes from it. I would think that's probably the only one that I would actually see.
The Japanese one, that one is really good.
I love that movie. Film.
It didn't do too well in the box office either, but...
That kind of surprises me, actually.
Yeah, it was. That was a really good movie.
Yeah. Like, and then X2. I like X2 a lot.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, The Last Stand is bad, but all the other ones are... I like the rest. I mean, I haven't seen Dark Phoenix or The New Mutants, but I don't really count those.
No. I would count... Phoenix,
like we talked about, ones like the first one and X2 and all those, they're kind of like guilty pleasure movies. They're not critically good, but they're fun movies to watch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Even the third one, the third one's mostly a meme at this point.
Oh, like, absolutely, but it's so fun true. To watch.
Yeah, we should probably talk about Nightcrawler.
Yeah. Okay.
We just have an issue. Like, in me making a point about how bringing up X-Men makes us talk about it, we got right back into the conversation. Proves my point perfectly.
Yeah.
That just means you're having good conversation.
What do you guys think about Star Wars? No, I'm just kidding.
We don't have time.
New ones
Who wants to be plot man for this
episode?
Well,
I will, because
okay, Krenny, you're plot man.
All right, so main character is Jake Gyllenhaal. His name's Lou.
Lou Bloom.
He goes from being a... kind of low profile con artist, not even really a con artist, I guess a hustler, I don't know,
just a thief,
yeah, just
general.
Like a low level criminal.
He's just getting by because it opens up with him. Sorry, this is your job.
Oh, sorry. So we can get into camera angles.
Can we get into establishing shots, please?
So anyway, up to...
he realizes that there are people who show up at the same time as first responders to crime scenes or car accidents and film it, and then they sell that to the news. He recognizes that as something he could do, and so he starts to build his own independent business that he calls
Video Production News.
Yeah. And basically goes
VPN.
Yeah, so goes around filming these things, and the more he gets into it, he gets to a point where... Well, how much, I mean, do you want me to spoil it in this, or do you want to kind of talk, flesh it out as we talk about it?
I would have brought up the fact that Rick dies. And he's
gets to a very extreme point.
Yeah, he ends up taking it to an extreme where instead of just showing up to film these events and then sell it to a local news station, he actually withholds footage that could solve an open case, because he arrives before the police, and then he uses that to set up another situation where he can get better footage and make more money and also get a reward.
He orchestrates
another crime, essentially, mm-hmm. because it results in the murder of like three or four
people.
And
more than that, he actually like personally, individually orchestrates Rick's death.
Yes.
Because he
lied about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we could get into that kind of when we get to that point and talk through it.
Yeah, we can get to it.
Yeah, so essentially it ends up just taking him to a very dark place, and he ends up, as far as you can tell by the end of the movie, gets away with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
more or less. I like that part.
I do too.
It's an interesting
twist, I like endings where the guy that in a Disney movie wouldn't win does. And whether that means I like sad endings in movies, like really depressing, like everyone loses endings, and then I also like endings where the bad guy went, like, oh, yeah, just
it,
that kind
that
of thing
that doesn't settle well with a lot of people because they want resolution. I say screw it.
Well, it's still resolution. Yeah, it just doesn't give you a happy warm fuzzy feeling.
So I would want to start by just talking about, how do you guys feel about Lou as a character? Because I think he's an interesting...
Well, that's like what the whole movie is. That is...
It's a character study.
It's a character study.
Well, first, I'm not sure if I like the fact that he punches the security guard and, you know, well, for one, because I'm...
Does that really
guard,
hit
it
you?
It really hits
yeah.
me hard. No, but it kind of shows...
In the beginning?
Like
the very
idea,
beginning?
Yeah. I much more like the idea of him just being a petty thief and then, like, slowly falling into this world of, like... madness that he just keeps on pushing the boundaries in, and then, you know, eventually getting to somewhere. But because of the fact that you see him rob a man just because he sees the watch,
I think what I would have liked better was maybe still that he robs a man, but he does it in a sleight of hand way, like not like an
yeah,
out
like,
aggressive
because
then that's something you could use again later in the movie. And the fact that he does that means he's already kind of been on this path of like morals are kind of out the window, like if I see something I want, I'm gonna try and get it, you know, sort of a thing, which is exactly what his character is.
Mm-hmm.
Along with being a sociopath.
Oh, totally.
So,
yeah,
which Jake Gyllenhaal plays a very, very good sociopath.
He gave me the creeps in this
movie.
So good. I mean he does an excellent job playing Lou, but he was just so creepy. He starts out a little uncomfortable, but he just kind of feels socially awkward. Yeah, he just kind of feels sleazy and a little socially awkward at the beginning. And by about halfway through, I was like, this guy is just a straight up creep. Like,
and maybe even on the autism scale a little bit at times.
He's probably on the spectrum, yeah.
There are multiple times in the movie where, like, when other people aren't even around and he's just kind of like, the way he acts is kind of weird, you know, where like he could be obviously not heavily on the scale, but at least on it a little bit where he has some little quirks and, you know.
Possibly, although it's hard to know because if he is supposed to be an actual sociopath, I mean, that is a mental disorder, so it could come with also other weird things. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be autism. Right. But,
After his role in Brokeback Mountain, that's what drove him to be a sociopath.
I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
We should cover that.
Let's do a commentary on that one.
Yeah. Gay porn.
Gay.
Is it that explicit? I've never seen it.
Do they show?
I don't know.
I have a feeling it's not.
I doubt it because I don't think it's NC-17 or X.
Elementary school.
It
was gay back
now. He's like back in elementary school when we watched it in
science class.
I'm married to a woman. Sorry, fellas.
But he's not really that sorry.
I just remember kids always making fun of that and like, oh, gay back now.
I kind of remember that too.
Yeah.
It was kind of a meme but like back when we were... Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've never seen that. I don't know how explicit it is.
Absolutely terrible film. And I think who plays the Joker? Heath Ledger?
Heath Ledger, yeah.
I think he's in it too.
I thought it was Matt Damon. I think it was Matt Damon.
No. It's Heath Ledger.
We've had this discussion before, haven't we? Like very recently.
Yes. Like a 1 or 2
episodes. I thought it was Matt Damon and Jake Gyllenhaal.
No. I promise you it's Heath Ledger.
Is it really?
And then I can't remember. It has I'm trying to remember who the girls in it are.
Are they?
Because they're both married.
The girls end up with the girls and the guys end up with the guys.
Because it's like...
Now that I can get by.
Right, means you're going to end up with guys, you know? Like.
Well, listen.
If it's, you know, what's his name? Tom Hardy. Nate will consider it.
Yeah, like,
I mean, we already know Bradley's down if Ryan Reynolds is interested. So.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
He's got my email.
So are we gonna talk about his character, like, in depth about his character?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay.
Because
it is kind of like the focal point of the story, obviously. Yeah. He's not just the main character, he's the story.
Yes.
No pun intended for this movie.
That was
yeah, no, he gave me the creeps. Like, he's so interesting because he was actually, like, I was thinking when we were watching about, like, being Rick, being the assistant to him, and it would actually kind of be inspiring because he's a very, like, he's actually, like, a pretty good leader. He's very straightforward. That's one of his things in the movie is about, like, honesty and, like, being forthcoming.
No, it's true, though. He is very, like...
Up until the last couple scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I was just...
slips and then all of a sudden he's... Yeah.
No, I wasn't laughing at that. I was thinking about all the times when he's talking to Rick and he just sounds like a straight-up, like online course or, like, something out of a textbook.
Yeah, I know.
Sounds like my dad, honestly, when he was, like... My dad, if we were not cleaning up like the house well enough, he'd be like, if you were my employee, I would fire you right now.
But it's more than that. It's
more
like
than
talking
that.
About studies he's read.
Yeah,
and like,
he's like statistically, it's been proven in leadership settings, if employees that perform in this way, blah, 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 blah. And it just sounds like he's trying to market to you, which is hilarious because he'll do it like as they're running down the street or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which is the best part when they're running away from the house after they get the footage of all the people that were shot. Inside the house, like when they're running back, he's talking about like job security and like if you really cared about your job, you would have run out here. And they're like bolting from the house because the cops are coming.
Well, I think that just shows like how much of a controlling and manipulative person he is with everything. Like he pressures a lot of people into just doing what he wants.
Yeah, no, his morals are definitely like it's
gone.
Just about him. Well, like, what's the best way to get to my objective
and
just using up people
and
to get there.
How does my hand of cards compare to theirs? Because in the beginning, he's, you know, low. He, you know, is more okay with accepting $250 instead of his original, you know, price.
Yeah.
And then as he goes along, it's more powerful. Then he starts calling the shots and he's telling people what to do. And
he's smart enough to figure out how to get his foot into the door and get leverage, examine the situation. Because when he really does the blackmail thing with that lady, where he basically garners sexual favors in exchange for her still taking his stories at higher prices or whatever.
It's not even that. It's not in exchange for that. He gets his stories at higher prices and the sex and what she gets is her to keep her job.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Instead of him going elsewhere, he gets to stay there at the prices he wants, basically. When he does that, he uses, like, he's like, hey, you're like, your next quarterly is coming up, and you only average 2 years at your jobs, and you're almost up to 2 years here, and so it would be really bad for you if this was a bad quarter, and all this. Like, he's ready. Like, he knows. He's done his research.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to root for him, you know?
Well, like, yeah, he's like, he's really good at being bad.
Yeah.
And like, at being not bad, but like, manipulative. Bad, yeah, like,
and his buddy Rick, he was not going to kill until Rick, you know, decided
until he tried to take half the money, which is pretty fair, but like, he wanted more. And so if he wants more and that guy wants more, well, I got to take care of that guy. That guy's an issue for me now. I can find someone else. That guy's not that. I have to train someone else, well, and that sucks for me, but it's worth it to make an extra 25 grand.
He rationalized it too, and he's like, how do I not know that you're going to try to renegotiate it? You know, if you
how do I know you wouldn't act like I would act?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's what he doesn't want.
So. Yeah. And I guess what I wonder, though, is so he's obviously willing to go to, as you see by the end of the movie, where he's willing to blackmail and straight up get somebody murdered, that he's willing to go to whatever lengths he needs to achieve his objectives. But I don't really I guess I'm not entirely clear, and maybe it's intentional on the part of the film, what his actual end goal is. I know he talks about wanting wanting to own his own news station or whatever, but he also talks a lot about like how he just hates people in general, and he doesn't seem like very career oriented.
His friendship with Rick, I think it's just fake, you know.
Well,
oh, 100%.
Like,
he knows
surface level. Yeah, I mean,
he knows he's being a dick, and he's gonna do whatever he can to stay on top.
He does know he's being a dick, but it's like in a way that like that's okay. And if you let yourself be taken advantage of, then you're just a weak link, and I'm the stronger link, and so I should exceed, and you shouldn't. He's got a way of life
very
kind of personality.
Like a survival.
He doesn't. It's the sociopath. He's not. He doesn't have those human emotions. He doesn't feel bad for people. It's just, if I'm stronger than you, then I prevail and you don't.
I mean,
if
that's
that means
literally
you die or you miss out on money
As Rick is laying on the ground there, he's like, you know, he's like, you knew that. He's like, well, sorry, but, you know, it wasn't going to work anymore. You were getting in my way. This, you know, this business arrangement had to kind of end. Like, this is what I had to do. And there's no remorse whatsoever.
Best part about it is that he doesn't just get him killed. He actually uses him to make more money in a way.
Yes,
like, he uses
him
as part of the story. Yeah, like, that's like the last little twist. Like, when he shows up with the camera in his face and he's filming him, like, dying. And, like, that's the ultimate, like, there's no, it's rough, but it's like, I don't know.
So good.
It is. It really is. It's a great, he's such a good character.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Writing, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I actually don't know. Not someone I'm too familiar with, I don't think. Let me get back to you on that here.
Yeah. But I guess I just wondered because
Dan Gilroy. Let me see what else he's responsible for here real quick.
I guess what I was wondering about his end objective is just he seems like the kind of person who would get tired of something and then just move on, because he goes very quickly from like, oh, hey, I'm a petty thief. I'm, you know, stealing fences and selling them to construction companies on the sly, to, you know, filming car crashes and selling it to a news station. But he doesn't seem like he's actually cares that much about the job itself. So I just wonder, you know, what his...
I think I might disagree, because I feel like he's, like, you know, goalless in the beginning. He doesn't really know what to do. He even tries to get a job at the place he just tried to sell the stolen goods to. And then after that, he's on his way home, and then he gets caught up in this whirlwind of this weird underworld.
Well,
of
and he even says
trying
to Rick,
film.
It's not about the wage that, you know, a job makes it desirable. And he's like, it's about like getting to the highest point of the job.
Which is actually, to me, is not just him trying to keep money from Rick and more for himself, which I'm sure that's part of it. But I think it's also like that's actually how he feels. Like, when he was at the steel place, when he was like selling the scrap metal that he stole, he kind of had that attitude, like, I'll take an unpaid internship, like, I'll do whatever, I just want to get my foot in the door in some career that I can learn the trade and work my way up. So it's not, when he's talking to Rick that way, you're like, well, obviously he's just trying to get more money, but at the same time, it's like, that's also actually how he feels. Like, you should be grateful that we're doing this like dangerous thing or whatever, because it's good for our little company that we've got going on, you know.
Yeah,
you're the assistant now.
Yeah.
I guess to kind of...
The executive president.
The executive... There you go. Was the
$75 a day.
Executive. Oh, my God. Like that he almost says 100. He's like, 75. He's like, I could have gotten more. Yes. No. That was the one moment where, like it was like Jake Gyllenhaal was actually in a good mood for once. Where he's like, I could have gotten more, couldn't I? Yes.
I guess what I'm wondering, though, because what I was talking about, like him getting bored, because I think he... The only thing I really see in his like goals is that he likes power. He likes being in control. He's very much a control freak. So I kind of wonder, just in, you know, since they end the movie with him not getting caught, it kind of makes me wonder with this character, you know, is he supposed to be somebody that would go on and keep moving up through the news station and then eventually get bored with that and want to go somewhere else where he has even more control? Because, you know, he's just working for a local news station, and even if he owned it, like, that's only so much influence. And if he's really that clever at blackmail and manipulating people, like, where would he end up if he's smart enough to, you know, cover his tracks and do what he needs to get all the right pieces in his, you know, in his hand? It just makes me wonder where that character would end up, you know, like if you were to follow him,
if it's maybe about people that are like that in real life that we don't realize. Because, like, at the end of the movie, like, we see he does like terrible things at the end of the movie, no doubt about that. And then he goes into the news place afterwards, and he's like saying hi to people. And he's like, oh, hey, you got the gold tie, must be Friday, haha. Like, he's having a good time, everybody likes him, not knowing how much of a monster he is. And like, so maybe it's saying a couple of things, one of which being that, like, hey, being a cutthroat asshole, like, actually gets you places in the world. And also, like, there's probably a lot of people out there like that, that we shake hands with and politics. We like and respect, and politics specifically, yeah. And they're actually terrible monsters, and we just don't see that side of them.
Yeah.
But they'll do anything.
I'm sure that most people, especially if you work maybe not in small companies, but definitely in big companies where more of those opportunities present themselves, I'm sure there are plenty of those people that, you know, probably don't take quite to that extreme of straight up committing
hopefully
murder.
Not, but I'm sure that some do.
There probably are a lot of those people that are just, as soon as the opportunity presents itself, they... Whatever friendship you thought you had with them, whatever person you thought they were, that isn't actually, like, if that opportunity arises, they're going to do anything and everything to be the one who gets that opportunity. So, I'm sure that there are probably lots of those people that, especially in, like, big companies where it's a lot more competitive to rise to those positions or those responsibilities, or in industries that are more competitive, that there is probably a lot of that goes on that maybe just doesn't always have a chance to be seen, because people, you know, if you're not in the right place at the right time, you won't get an opportunity to be that person. But if you are in the right place at the right time, like he always makes sure that he is, then...
Oh, and it's about taking initiative too.
Yeah.
Like when he goes and does whatever with the other guys, his rival's van, so that his van wrecks. And and then he also uses that as a story. That's what I love about, like, everything terrible he does, he can use as a story. It's a double-edged sword. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I know, I felt like, not that I liked that other guy, but it was kind of like, oof, that was a harsh...
Yeah.
Just totally take out the competition. Not just like, oh, I'm going to beat him there or whatever, but just
eliminate
like,
him straight up.
I'll just send him to the hospital. Yeah. Have fun in ICU. And I will see you later.
Yeah, right?
I see you jokes.
I was surprised with watching this movie that the character Rick actually, I know that he's desperate for a job, but that he stayed working with that guy, because he's clearly a creep. Like, and he freaks, you know, he makes Rick uncomfortable from the very first time they work together. So it surprises me that Rick's character actually stays on and keeps working for him, especially because he's getting heinously underpaid.
He does, yeah.
So I think an explanation for that is, or maybe just, you know, another example of it would be Nazi Germany.
What?
Yes. Expound.
I'm assuming that most Germans were not like, you know, oh, I hate the Jews and I want to, you know, get rid of them all. I'm assuming that it was like, oh, this is what's going on. They just got caught up in the whirlwind.
It's like that compliance mindset, or
Yeah, and we're on a team, and you know, it's us against the world. Because you even hear Rick say, "Oh, he's one of us," when they're going to film the.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I think Rick is like genuinely a good guy, though. I don't think that Rick is a creep or somebody who would be willing to commit murder to.
Well, he's obviously not.
Yeah, who would do things to obtain his dream job or something. But I think the big difference is that it's not the same as like, oh, you know, this is kind of this national idea that people are just kind of going along with. This is somebody that he works with one-on-one in a very isolated, like it's just the two of them and it's for hours at a time. And it just seems like that would be, if you were Rick, I feel like if I was Rick, I would, you know, after a week of that, I'd be like, you know, this guy's kind of crazy and I think I could find a better job even if it's just flipping burgers. Like, at least I'm not going to be working with somebody who's obviously off their rocker.
Yeah, well, we don't know what his situation was. We just know that he really needed the money.
He really needed the money and he had, like, no job experience. Like at all.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he just bounced from, like, it's hard to land a job when you just kind of bounce from stuff and you kind of, you dress up, you show up to a job interview dressed like you just rolled out of the gutter. He might have... actually, so like it's no, not
he said he wasn't homeless though.
Yeah,
he's living in a garage, right?
Yeah,
I don't know,
but
I don't know, my point being though, like he gets his foot in the door with Lou and then after a while he just becomes captivated by him, and even then you can see like you see him warming up to Lou but at the same time like still always kind of having a, you know, on the fence about him, like, oh, you're going too fast. And
yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I feel like most people, even if you were desperate for money, there are always other jobs you could get if you really wanted to. I mean, you don't need work experience to get a job in fast food. You know, you don't need work experience to get a job at a gas station. Usually, like, those are generally places, like, they'll hire high school kids who have never worked a day before in their life. So I think that you probably could, unless you have some kind of, like, felony record, which maybe then that would affect things. But I don't know. It just seems like most people wouldn't stick with it for that long. Like, maybe they'd take the job initially, but he's only paying him $30 a day too for the work that he's doing. He's working, like, you know, essentially like probably an 8 or 10 hour shift, I would assume, with this guy, because it's all night and he's getting paid $30.
And he had to bargain to get 30. He was going to be an unpaid internship originally.
And it's like that right there would be something that it's like, you know, maybe I'll go work for McDonald's. At least I have a
set hourly rate
and I know I'm going to get paid, and that this person isn't just going to bargain with me and be like, actually, I don't feel like paying you or something. Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Rick's definitely kind of an idiot. He's kind of slow, but you still can't help feeling bad for him like the entire movie, because he's pretty much always being taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't get too extreme until the end of the movie, but pretty much throughout the whole movie, every corner of the way, he's being taken advantage of in some way or another. So
yeah, and it makes you sad too, because you realize, you know, he recognized that he had bargaining power and that he could have left, and he didn't. Instead, he got talked into staying for this promise of job opportunities or whatever, and it's just kind of sad because it's like how.
Well, and
he
underestimated Lou, because when they get. Before, like, the really, like, climactic scene, they're having the discussion about the $50,000, and he basically threatens Lou, and he says, either I get the money or I can go to the police and tell him what you're doing.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, Lou was afraid of Rick trying to, you know, creep up in the business. It was more of Rick might report this if...
Well, it's funny, because Lou is the professional in blackmail, right? Like, he knows how to read people and how to use them and how to blackmail them. And so he was seeing that in Rick, I think. Whether it was because Rick had just been spending too much time with him or whatever it was. So you're right, it wasn't just about the money. It was about the fact that Rick actually had leverage against him, and he was going to use it now, and he was going to use it again, and he was going to use it again. And so Lou decided just to take care of the issue.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that was the bigger threat than having to split the 50 grand.
Although 25 grand, I'm sure that would also be painful for Lou's character, giving away money like that.
But yeah, I think that his bigger issue would have been the blackmail thing. I think if Rick had just tried to be like, listen, you give me half or I'm just leaving, then, and hadn't made a threat, he maybe would have been able to, you know, finagle something. But I think it is just the threat of the cops, because obviously Lou knows what he's been doing is illegal and that he has obstructed justice and he lied to FBI agents and all kinds of things. So, you know, I think that's probably the bigger issue there.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, just feel bad for Rick. That made me sad when he died.
good move though in the movie. I love films that do things that you don't see coming. That one definitely qualifies in my book, and I just really like that kind of thing, you know. Yeah. Keep me guessing, keep me on my toes.
I had a feeling it was gonna die though. Like, I'm sorry, growing up in LA, you hear a lot of stuff, gunshots all the time. I'm like, dude, he's pulling your leg. He's dead. Yeah, yeah. Come film this for me. I'm right here.
Wait,
with
no,
my
no.
Camera.
Walk this way. No, like, no. You're not in frame.
Look. 6 inches to the left. Oh, see, perfect.
I want a film of the cameraman filming it. So if you could just step in front of the gunman, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like,
see,
Rick's a little gullible.
I expected it to turn into probably about halfway through-ish, I expected it to turn into Lou doing something to orchestrate a bigger and better scene for himself to film so that he would really have a leg up in his competition. So I kind of saw that coming for a while, but I definitely didn't see him killing Rick as part of it. I wasn't surprised
about the
rest of it.
Well, and that's the thing, is how I think we can actually assume, because this is still early in his career in this business, only a few months, really, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like this, I feel like it's a stepping stone. Like he found himself in a situation where he could draw it out longer and use it to his advantage. In the future, I think that orchestrating something would not be out of mind at all. Like, as he spends more time in that business, like orchestrating events here and there that he can get on camera would be
like
a good move.
Yeah, like if he's having a slow month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, the month's slow, better create some death, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's what I need for my,
well,
yeah.
The news director, he even had her convinced because they solved the whole point of the story, but he got her to believe that it was gang violence leaking into the community of L.A.
I don't think she believed it. I think it wasn't that.
That's the thing.
She's just trying to look out for her own job security.
They both see the same way, which is that if the story goes on longer, mm-hmm. we get more coverage, and instead of just bringing it to the resolution that in real life it has come to.
And that's better.
Yeah.
I don't think she for a minute thought that once that other evidence came to light. I don't think she at any point was in denial of the fact that it was actually had to do with
drugs. But she doesn't care.
She just doesn't care because it's better for her job
security. She's not telling the news. She's telling their news.
Yeah. Like, it's better for her to not tell it to people because she would rather make people want to tune in and keep seeing what's going on with this if they're worried about their suburban neighborhood, even if there's not an actual real threat to these people. You know, this was like cartel drug related activity, had nothing to do with like gang crime creeping into suburban neighborhoods at all.
So interesting is that they know what gets people watching, and he, you know, goes off and tells her, you know, statistically the only reason people watch news is to be informed, right? And he said, you know, you cover all the information that people are looking for in the first 2 minutes, and then people shut off the channel. You need to drag that information out and keep them intrigued. And he's found something that will keep them intrigued, and that's fear.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, just you see.
Do you know what fear stands for?
I
can't remember.
Yeah.
Feelings.
No, it's, what is it? False evidence appearing real or something.
Or altering reality or appearing real?
No, appearing real.
False evidence.
It's like false evidence appearing
yeah.
real.
But like that's the kind of leadership. Like, hey, all right, you know what? I'm with this guy.
Like,
he's got my back. He cares about me. He wants to see me improve. That guy has a gun?
Okay, so the statement he makes where he's like, I would not ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. I felt like he was 100%
it's true.
Genuine
yeah,
about
it's
that.
Actually
that's
not kidding.
True.
The problem is how far he's willing to go.
Hey, you want to stand in front of this camera?
That's like Hitler saying that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they have no idea what they're getting into by taking that job.
Yeah.
It also made me wonder, too, as the end, you're like, oh, he's taking on new employees. He has vans. Is he planning to kill them, too, when it gets convenient?
Only if the situation called for it.
Yeah.
Only if it was more advantageous and not too risky.
Higher raises? You know, benefits?
Are they blackmailing
just asked for dental. Oh, well, I'll give you dental.
I just like that the whole time, anytime he talks, you know, anytime he's demonstrating his leadership skills or whatever, he just sounds like, it's like a, I guess it's funny because it's him being serious because he's a total sociopath and just is not on the same wavelength as other people, but he just sounds like a mockery of any team, like mid-level manager team person,
right?
Like,
yeah, a tryhard,
like a total, yeah, like a total satirical interpretation of one of those
I've
kind
heard
of people.
That so much when my, you know, managers are kind of like, "All right, come on, team, we got to do this. Like, we got $200,000 this quarter. Like, give ourselves a pat on the back."
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, I work at Home Depot, dude. Like,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, mid-level managers that have a little bit of authority, but they're basically, their job is just to be a team leader or like a coach kind of. And all of those like super scripted, catchy taglines and everything. And he's just one after another.
I think part of the difference between those two, though, is the fact that he's 100% believing it. Mm. And, you know, like in. I think that's the difference that it makes.
Well, because that's how he lives his life. That's how he lives his life. And so that just bleeds into his career.
Like
watering the plant and like all that. Like,
can we talk about the plant?
I was wondering what that was.
It's an interesting addition. I just want to know what your guys' thoughts are, because it's an interesting addition that they show him. It's like six different times in the movie they show him watering his plant.
It's really important. And he even mentions it. I was watering my plant. Blah, 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 blah.
So I'm just curious what you guys think. I have my own idea, but I want to hear what other people think.
What do they call it? Like OCD
people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably just out of habit, you know. Okay.
I wonder if it's maybe foreshadowing a little bit.
Maybe.
Like to, he's watering the plant just like how later in the movie he's basically feeding the news and like trying to make the news grow, trying to make it more than what it actually is. So he's the one that's like in charge, just like he's the one in charge of like feeding the plant and making the plant grow. He's also like feeding the news and making the news grow instead of it just happening like naturally.
Yeah, I could see that correlation happen.
That's not, I didn't think of that, but that's an interesting. I was wondering if maybe it had to do with his obvious lack of, he just doesn't care at all about other people. He has no relationships. He takes care of a plant. Yeah. Like he's very caring. I mean, in the most,
well, a plant won't blackmail you and try to steal $25,000.
Yeah, I just thought it was, I wondered if maybe it was something like that. Like he does care about this plant, but human life doesn't mean anything to him at all.
And maybe it just accentuates his sociopathness.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that he never was fond of Rick at any point? Like he never even thought of him in any more positive form than, you know, other people?
I think that go ahead.
Well, no, I think that he did.
I think that he would have been excited about Rick, but not on a personal level, on a, how can I train you to make you a better worker?
How can I make
in this
you make
business?
Me more money?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
I don't think it was ever personal. I really don't.
Yeah, I never got the feeling that he liked Rick on a personal level. I think that he saw potential in him because he was young and gullible and desperate. And so he saw this as a great business opportunity for himself that, hey, this guy is, you know, a blank slate. I can turn him into whatever I need to make my business work, and this is going to be great. And that he basically only saw him as like a, you know, essentially a financial investment and nothing else.
Means to an end.
I mean, every conversation he has with him.
With anyone. He's the most selfish character of all time. He really is.
No, I wasn't even going to talk about selfishness. I was going to say every single conversation he has with Rick specifically, not just. Because he's a little bit more personal, like when he... I can't remember her name, the news lady, Renee
Even
Russo.
Then, it's just
Renee
sexual,
Russo, that's all I can...
You know.
Yeah, but still, like, it's more personal when he talks to her. Like, you feel a little bit more like he's talking to a real person.
I disagree,
Every conversation that he has with Rick feels like he's just reading off of a PowerPoint when he talks to Rick, which really makes me think he never cared about him.
He's like, I like the way you wear your eyeshadow. He's like, I like the way you smell. I like your hair. By the way, I'm looking for just a sexual flame.
Well, that's the thing about that is that, like, even with her, where you might think, like, oh, he's attracted to her and all that, even that, it's not about her. It's about him.
Yeah.
About what can you do for me,
and
this is how I'm going to get it.
I agree. I just think that his conversations with her they feel a little bit more human to me than his conversations with Rick. Like, with Rick, it feels like every single time he talks to him, he's just spewing like inspirational, you know.
Well, that's because that's what that character needs to hear. Maybe. What she needs to hear is what she wants to hear. Yeah. So, hey, your saying your eyeliner failing. Looks good and whatever, like, yeah, your company's failing. Now I'm blackmailing you. It's, I think he just tells everyone what he wants to, what they need to hear to make them do what he wants them to
yeah.
do. And so in Rick's case, it's being an inspirational leader.
Yeah, that's logical. I'm not arguing with that. I'm saying it's the way you do it, because he could, if he actually cared about Rick, he could have still been an inspirational leader and done it in a way that felt like one human talking to another. Instead, it feels like Rick is listening to a YouTube video every time Lou talks to him. So that's what I meant, is I don't think he ever cared about Lou, because in their interactions you don't ever see any hint that he even thinks of like Rick as an actual person. See, it's
he would thrive in politics. Tell people what they want to hear, get what they need from them, be inspirational here and there.
Yeah, because like, everyone likes him. You know,
yeah,
second, he's a likable guy.
Movie that they're gonna make, you know, coming up 2021.
That was interesting that you saw. He actually can turn on the like acting like a real life human being when he needs to.
Well, most robots can't. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah.
When he's like, I can tell by your tie that it's Friday.
Uh-huh.
Or,
like just being personable.
Yeah,
like people
kind
like
of
him,
office
you know.
Chatter. So you know, and that one didn't feel like a scripted. Here I'm quoting statistics, or you know. Studies at you,
but it's actually kind of like a robot. Like I'm walking into work, okay, I need to switch on my smile big and talk.
Don't we all?
No, not really.
But like what? To different,
I've never
to, not to the extent where
yeah,
like
not
to the extent where
of...
like he literally is like walking into the building with like a deadpan face and like walk. This isn't actually in the movie, but like then he walks in and like flips a switch, hey, blah blah blah, blah. And as soon as the door closes, boom, like back to like don't
yeah.
give a shit about any of those people. But I, hey, they all like me still. After all that contact, everyone still likes me. I'm still the friendly guy in the office. I'm getting what I need from those people. Maybe I can get favors from them later. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's trying to establish
contacts.
Oh, he's
totally networking.
And, yeah.
Everything he can to, you know, with, like, I want you to introduce me to everybody. I want to be on a first-name basis. People.
Well,
I want people to recognize
me.
I
want personal relationships.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think he wants to be liked.
Definitely. He has a little bit of insecurity, I think.
I think it just isn't, you know, it's sociopathic.
Yeah.
Liking that he wants, where
it makes him feel better.
Care about what, yeah,
and
that's what he can
yeah.
get from those people.
And yeah, and
those
again,
people can make
and,
him feel better.
And
yeah.
again, I think it comes even on a deeper level than that. That he knows if they like him, it will help him achieve his goals. Because if
yeah.
they like him, they'll say, "Hey, you should consider Lou for the promotion," or you know, they'll give him a good reference, or they'll connect him to other people who can help him continue to climb this ladder of success. So I think that he does want to be liked, but it's not even just that he's insecure. I don't think he is insecure. I didn't get that vibe from him once in this movie. I think it's literally that he sees every single person in his life as a means to an end in some way or another. And even if that means that it's just, hey, I smile and compliment their tie and, you know, make sure I stay on a first name basis with them, there's a reason for that. And it's not just that, oh, I need a little bit of affirmation.
Yeah, maybe not insecurity, but needy. Like,
yeah, I definitely still, like, not insecure. He always seems super confident in everything he does. But I do, yeah, still think that he wants to be liked. Like, I think he almost wanted to like newscasting lady or the news director. But then once she wasn't really reciprocating the same feelings, that's when he was like, all right, well, we're playing ball then. I'm
yeah,
gonna
right.
blackmail you and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Hit
yeah.
and quit it. And then hit it again.
But
and then get mad at her when she doesn't want to hit you back.
I don't think he has enough capability to process something like insecurity. Like, I don't think
insecurity isn't even an op. Like,
yeah, I
people
think,
are insecure idiots.
Well, no, not even that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying like
no,
that's
no,
how
no.
you.
I don't even mean that mentality.
Insecure idiots.
I mean, you know, we're talking about he's a sociopath, and sociopaths really do. I mean, one of the big things about sociopaths is that they just don't feel emotions.
Amen.
And I think that I don't think he'd really be a sociopath if he felt the need for, if he had felt any kind of insecurity or the fact that he needed to be liked or affirmed in any way. I think that a true sociopath doesn't need that because it's not even something that their brain registers.
Well, that's a spectrum, right?
I don't know.
Like,
if
are you saying like
are a spectrum though? I think it's just either you're a sociopath
or
you're not.
That seems a little.
I think it's a spectrum.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think you can have sociopathic aspects to your personality.
Than, like a lot of people I
know,
and then yet.
But you're not even close to being.
Yeah,
but he's closer.
Yeah, I'm
he's
closer
than
close,
other
I think.
People.
I for sure.
Maybe, but I don't think that's the same. I feel like. I think that sociopath, because it's an actual
Well, okay, but listen,
mental disorder.
Like he's saying,
it's not
like an autism spectrum where if you're on it, you are autistic in like a little way. It's like Aaron's not saying he is a sociopath. He's just a lot closer to being a sociopath than other people are. Maybe. And so Lou Bloom may not be a 100% sociopath. Like, because he might close. Have needs. He is damn not close.
100%, he is close.
But except I feel like he is 100% there because I feel like the way that they wrote the character, he doesn't show anything that feels remotely human.
I would say that he, like, when he gets positive feedback from other people, like, that's something that he really revels in. Like, it makes him feel good when other people, because there are multiple times where, like, Nina, that's the character, girl, where she'll say, hey, this is, like, really good. You did a really good job. And he's like, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you. Like, he, like, genuine.
But, yeah. But I thought he was being social.
Genuine, too, but that might have just been him acting. Yeah, but then
it comes back to kind of how when somebody goes, you know, hey, how's your day going at the grocery store? And you go, it's fine or it's great. And it's not a real answer. It's something you do. That's how society operates.
It's how we interpret it. I mean, I interpreted it that like it seems like that those reactions were genuine.
He doesn't have emotion at all because when, and this is why I don't think that he actually had genuine feelings for Rick. When she's looking at the last video of the car chase and Rick's death, she's like, wasn't that your partner? And he says, as a matter of fact, he was my partner. And, like, it's no emotion. He doesn't even say, like, yeah, it was pretty tough, you know, filming his death. It's just like, yeah.
Well, you could definitely be, I mean, I would definitely say he's sociopathic in a lot of areas, but maybe not, like, 100% all the time.
See, I felt that way up until the end of the movie. Up until then, he had enough little moments where it was kind of feeling like maybe he does feel some things. Maybe he is a little bit more real and more human than he likes to put, you know, than he likes to show people. But then when he killed Rick and then walked over and talked to him and filmed his death and completely just was matter of fact about the whole thing, obviously didn't care. Not even that he was just matter of fact. He was completely unfazed by it. It was like,
well, I think that's when Rick became not his friend anymore, was when he realized that Rick has the potential to throw him off his game, and that's when he was like, all right, you're dead to me, and literally gets him killed. Yeah.
But then after that, when he goes back and he talks to Nina and he shows her the footage, and he's just, also the fact that multiple times he talks about how he just watches his own footage. So basically he just watches footage that he shot in person of people dying. He goes and drags a dead body like he doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's a master of the craft. He wants to get better at it. He's talking about the whole framings and everything.
But again, that it's such a cold, calculating way to approach things, because I think that even if you were somebody who wasn't a very empathetic person, so like Aaron, who doesn't have a lot of empathy, I think at some point if you're dealing with situations like that, there's also not this level of like not caring at all. I think, you know, the fact that he's like, oh, I'm going to move this dead body over here so awesome. I get a better shot. Like, it's such like, a...
When does he move the dead body?
It's the
airplane crash.
No, not the airplane crash. It's another one where it's a two-car wreck, yeah. And he's trying to talk to the guy. The guy's on the phone with you, with 911.
So he runs over there and he's looking around at the wreckage. The police haven't showed up yet, and then he sees a guy and he drags him. It's when he gets the blood on his shirt and Nina's asking.
He actually gets back and lines up a shot, and then he like sets the camera down and runs over and drags the body into the scene.
Like, to me, that kind of stuff, it's such a he
flung out of the car.
Is it that much further though from like going and trying to videotape people's, you know, trauma and whatnot, either way
you have to have like little to no, you either need to have no emotion or be able to block it out when that happens.
But here's the thing, so there are people, I mean, there's people that work in like first responder jobs that have to deal with that kind of stuff. Like, they have to deal with dead people on a regular basis that died in horrific ways. Those people though usually have a lot of, like, even if they're not super empathetic people, that much of it generally ends up being having a really severe impact on their psychological health.
Well,
like, and they end up,
that she is a nurse and she's worked at like nursing homes. She's had a bunch of patients that died, you know, there.
I'm not even talking tough, about like, that. I'm talking about the kind of people that show up to like a horrific car crash and you're cutting a mutilated body out of like a wreck.
But at least they're trying to help people.
But I'm saying like those kind of people, like, yes, you can't be so emotional that you couldn't handle being in that situation. You have to be able to turn it off to work.
Yeah.
But But those kind of people, when you read stuff from those people, they end up needing lots of counseling. They, I mean, they can, they're only allowed to, if they, you know, I mean, even if a police officer shoots and kills somebody, they're like, there's regulations on, they're not allowed to be in the field for a certain amount of time because it's a traumatic experience. Yeah, even mandatory. If you're, even if you don't recognize it at the time, like it ends up coming back to haunt those people, like dealing with that kind of stuff.
I'm not, so I'm not really sure. The fact that
he doesn't seem fazed by it at all makes me think there is no human emotion in his head.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm not really sure we're arguing about anymore, but I think we can all agree, like, to a very high degree, whether it's 100% or 95%, like, he's definitely sociopathic. Like,
yeah,
the emotion I think he does have is the, like, happiness, joy, and I think he can get that from other people,
right? Yeah, and I think, and that's he does. What I think
he can experience dopamine.
Exactly. Yeah. When the stuff happens, like the car flips over, like he just about, you know, screams with giddiness.
Yeah, he does.
That's true.
I don't think sociopaths can't
exactly
not be happy about things.
It's more like if they care about their happiness and that's it.
Yeah,
he's incredibly narcissistic, that's for sure. Yeah. But I think that goes hand in hand with sociopaths as well, because all they can see is them.
Right.
That's the only thing that matters in their world is themselves, and everybody else is just a tool, like literally something they're going to use to get where they want to be, whatever is going to make them the happiest. So,
well, it's definitely a very good representation of a sociopath. Like,
that is for
both the acting and the writing is very, just makes a very good character.
Extreme level, like he is a sociopath kind of thing. Like,
yes,
I feel like there are people who could, you could classify as a sociopath that
would not perform those, like he would, to those, for sure.
Lengths.
Yeah.
Aaron also pointed out that this movie has a pretty good soundtrack too, which it actually does.
It did.
I don't know why I'm agreeing with myself.
It's all right.
I still stand by that.
You're like I still hold that
opinion. It has a kind of what you actually said earlier was that you feel like the soundtrack is his perspective.
Yeah, it's his soundtrack. When like traumatic things are going on, it's normally a little light feely music going on, like he's getting, you know.
It's kind of upbeat.
Yeah,
music.
Yeah.
That's true. It doesn't have any of the what you'd expect for, you know, oh, I'm going into a house where there's people that just got shot. You know, there's not that kind of like.
And even during the car chases, like, and like when like when like bad things are happening to people, or like when he's doing something to people that's bad, it's like somebody's walking their street down the dog music. Like, it's just like, it's just another day for him, another, you know, another deed. So
yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I noticed the music being that I liked the soundtrack, but I didn't think about it that in depth.
Yeah, and even at the last scene, you have very dramatic music where he's turning in the film, and it's like, oh, the hero saves the day kind of thing.
Right. Well, but he is the hero. If this movie's from his, as his perspective, like, he is the hero.
And
he did
if he
win.
He is a sociopath and narcissistic. Why wouldn't he be the hero of his own film? Of course.
Right. If he came out on top, then he is the hero.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was a good movie. He played that character really well. Like, I was thinking about how I have seen other movies that are supposed to be about sociopaths or psychopaths. Like, specifically, I was thinking about American Psycho, and like, I had thought like Christian Bale plays a decent like psychopath, but he has nothing on Jake Gyllenhaal's portrayal of a sociopath in this movie. It was stellar.
Like, do the actors have to be a little crazy in order to play a crazy person?
I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal's that weird, though. I really don't. You've got Joaquin Phoenix, who's definitely a little estranged, a little eccentric, and so like he's really good at like playing the Joker and like that sort of thing. I don't see that in Jake Gyllenhaal at all. I mean, I haven't seen that much of stuff with him off camera, but like he seems like pretty normal to me.
Yeah, from everything I've seen of him, which again I don't watch a ton of interviews with him or anything, but from what I have seen, he seems pretty normal. That he's a likable guy. He doesn't give off any, like, Joaquin Phoenix gives off some kind of weird vibes even when he's like on the red carpet or in an interview. I think Jake Gyllenhaal is a little more,
speaking of which,
average.
So Dan Gilroy, the director, also did Velvet Buzzsaw. That's why I recognize his name. He did. He actually hasn't done much else. He has some writing credits for some other movies, but like,
which is interesting
else.
That he did so well on this and Velvet Buzzsaw is so bad.
I think there's probably a lot of people out there that really like Velvet Buzzsaw, would be my guess. And there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't like Nightcrawler either. So regardless of like critically how it did for both movies, I think both movies are kind of cult hits. Maybe not hits in Velvet Buzzsaw's case, but they're both cult favorites in their own way with a totally different group of people.
Yeah, maybe.
Something I'm going to try to do is to listen to the Bus Stop podcast that we did and then watch the movie again and see how, you know, our opinions hold up and how the movie holds up after, what has it been, like a year?
Over a year. Yeah. Year and a half, yeah. Now. That was the first one we did. Yeah, and that one actually has good audio quality. Well, it has loud, I guess. It actually doesn't have that great audio quality, but it has loud audio quality.
You can hear everyone who is present.
So that's good. Yeah. Okay, so let's go. Let's do ratings then, unless there's anything else anybody wants to hit.
Jake Gyllenhaal doppelganger that's on my baseball team. He gets so much crap.
Crap?
For Brokeback Mountain.
Oh. Now you gotta tell him to go watch Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
be like, here, you're one more thing to add to your reputation.
Listen.
You know what's crazy to me is the fact that, like, looking at Jake Gyllenhaal versus Maggie Gyllenhaal, because, like, I don't know, like, it's weird to me because they look like such different, like, people. And I know that, I mean, obviously they're not the same person, they're not identical twins, but just,
you mean they don't look related or what?
Not just that they don't look they don't look related at all to me, but then also like the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal is like a reasonably attractive person and Maggie Gyllenhaal isn't pretty at all.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
I don't think she's super attractive, but I think there's a lot of people that think she is.
Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Okay, did you hear that that I'm sure you did, but it would have been a while ago, that Rooster Teeth podcast where they were talking about it, and I think it was Gavin described Maggie Gyllenhaal as like, she has a face like a painting that got rained on. And jeez, I was like, wow. And I was like, I kind of agree with that though, because every time I see her, I'm like, I don't think she's
not that ugly though. She's really not.
No, she's 43. So
she looks like, you know who she looks like?
She looks like a human.
No, she looks like, oh my goodness, what's her name?
They're siblings? Oh my gosh. No, I do not think she's okay. Jackman.
No, she's not pretty at all. Yeah, see, he's on my side. I don't think she's pretty at all.
She looks like Carrie Fisher. Yeah, that's who she looks like.
Except Carrie Fisher was pretty.
Carrie Fisher was definitely prettier. I'm not, the woman is not an ugly person.
No, I'm not saying she's like hideous and like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
but she's pretty close.
But yeah, I was just saying like,
wow,
to
you
me,
got like, man, she's not ugly.
No, no, I
wasn't. She's fine.
I wasn't saying that.
I'm more attracted to Jake Gyllenhaal, but she's not ugly.
No, the sequel
featuring Nate. I didn't mean that like, oh, she's the ugliest person I've ever seen. She's so hideous. I just meant like Jake Gyllenhaal to me is like, I think he's like kind of an attractive guy.
I would actually say that like Jake Gyllenhaal is an unconventional attractive.
He is unconventional.
Like he has his own quirks.
I agree.
As far as
I agree. I think some
his
of it.
His crazy eyes.
So in this movie he wasn't attractive because he's playing such a
psycho.
He was,
dude. He was.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
But I'm thinking like Prince of Persia. Jake Gyllenhaal is very attractive.
Very attractive.
Because
yeah,
he's not doing sociopath eyes
are
the
you,
whole time.
Implying something, honey?
That was not an implication. That was a straight up statement.
You need to like run to the. Yeah.
That was just a straight up statement. It wasn't an implication. That was just a factual observation.
Like Prince of Persia?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, I think that Maggie Gyllenhaal is very like, she's somebody that I would walk by and not even notice. Like.
Bitch.
You know, there's lots of people like that. Like, you notice somebody, I don't know if guys do this, but girls notice pretty, like, girls.
Oh, yeah, guys don't do that.
No, I meant, like, do guys notice attractive guys?
There are times where I see dudes and I'm like, why you and not me?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
But no, for me, it's the other way around. It's like, okay, if that can happen, like, okay,
I have dreams, let's go.
No, but that's what I'm saying is like, so girls, you know, a lot of times we'll notice other girls who are pretty because it's kind of like, honestly, a lot of times it's like kind of a jealousy thing where it's like, oh wow, I wish I looked like her, I wish my hair was that good or whatever. But
don't
I don't know if
Maggie.
No, but that's what I'm saying is like, not that because I feel like on the opposite end, if there's somebody who's really unattractive, you'll notice them for that reason too. She's just very like,
plain Jane.
She's just very plain. So she's somebody that it's like she wouldn't stand out because she's beautiful, but she also wouldn't stand out because she's ugly. Like, she's just somebody that, like, I wouldn't remember her face. Whereas, like, you know, there are people sometimes that you see that you're like, wow, I would notice that person if I saw them again.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Buttered toast.
Okay.
Well, like
thanks,
milk
Aaron.
Toast. Butter toast is actually good.
You would eat.
I agree.
Eat that bread.
Who wants to rate this? Does anyone have? I haven't thought about mine at all yet.
I haven't thought about
really.
Mine yet.
I'd give
but
it a solid 8.
Solid 8?
Yeah. Really good storyline, good plot. I'd say it just loses the points with just kind of disturbing. Just, I don't know. I didn't expect that's what I was going to be watching.
That's fair. Like,
it watching, blindsided you.
Yeah, we're watching Nightcrawler. I'm like, ooh, X-Men, yes.
don't say the word. We're going to launch.
Okay. I think I would give it, oh boy.
An oh boy out of 10.
Oh.
I think I would give it probably... Probably like a 9.5 out of 10. I thought it was really good. I did know I was getting into a creepier movie. So unlike him, I wasn't blindsided by like how dark the movie was. I was expecting it to be dark even from the get-go.
Is it
like,
rated R?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's like 50 F words.
And it's very violent. There's a lot of blood.
It is, yeah. It's also pretty pretty violent. But hey, it's good enough to show on national television or local television.
Is it illegal? Like, even from the get-go with the credit music at the very beginning, I could tell it was going to be a pretty sinister movie just from the way they shot it and the soundtrack. So I didn't get blindsided of any of that. I don't know if I'd give it a 10 out of 10. I feel like there are probably some little things that... Mostly because I think that the beginning of the movie moved a little bit slow for me.
It definitely did.
I wish that it had picked up a little sooner, that there had been something a little bit more dramatic in the beginning, because the character wasn't really interesting for like the first 15 minutes of this movie. So I think if that wasn't the case, like if you started at like minute 20 in this movie, it would be a 10 out of 10 because I think it did.
Because the whole movie is like a character study, so
it
like
is, but he doesn't
have this arc,
right?
Yes, but I think even if you looked at like starting, you know, half an hour or 45 minutes into this movie, his character still goes, like, it changes pretty dramatically because he still goes from somebody who's like, you know, has this cheap camera and he's just trying to do it and he's like, ah, darn it, I didn't make it in time. I gotta, you know, try again, better luck next time kind of thing, to like, I'm gonna fully orchestrate crime. So I think that's a pretty dramatic,
big
like,
montage that this happens where he becomes more, you know, him and Rick become more comfortable with.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I think there's still a lot of, like, I think there's a lot of arc. I think there's a lot of character development, even in the last... Yeah, it's a long movie. I just think that the beginning's a little slow. It didn't catch my attention as well as I wanted it to, especially for how good the rest of the movie is.
Yeah.
So, 9.5.
I wouldn't necessarily say that you should lop off the first 15, 20 minutes. I would say that...
I wasn't actually
if you
that.
Made... But if you... Because it, is
it starts with him...
Like, is it, like, right at 2 hours?
It's like, yeah, an hour and 57.
Because I think you could cut it down. It would be probably a better movie at 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And you could make it a tighter... Because it is kind of a slow draw. And not that that's bad, because it is, for his character, you kind of need that for him to have this build and change.
Yes.
Have this arc. It needs to be impactful. But I think it could be cut down, maybe not all the way down to 90 minutes, but I think you could cut it down to still have that impact and... kind of have it not be as dry
think,
for the first half of the
yeah,
movie.
I think you could have cut probably a solid 10 or 15 minutes out of that movie, though, and you'd still have...
Yeah, probably.
You'd still have a very good movie with a really strong character arc.
That being said, I would still watch a director's cut of this film.
Here's the thing. I mean, I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10. I don't think it's a bad movie. It's not like, oh, for this to even become a good movie, it would need to lose time. It's a great movie. I loved it. I thought it was really well done. I thoroughly enjoyed it for all of its sinister material. I just think that would be what it would need, would just be a little bit more concise, I guess, screenwriting for it to be like a 10 out of 10.
You're
that's all
you
I'm
want
saying.
To see less of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Not even that. I just think that there were... I just think that it could have been a little more concise. That's all I'm saying. But it's still an excellent film, and I would totally watch if there was a director's cut that was, you know, 2.5 hours long. I'd still watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It'd still be a good
awesome.
Movie. So
his hair is different in this movie. It looks oily.
He uses a lot of product.
I think that's intentional.
His hair looks way better in person.
I think that's intentional.
Nice head of hair.
Hey, I'm on board with him. Don't laugh at me.
Yep. I give it a 9.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if I would really change much about it.
Well, you'd change 10% of it.
Well, yeah, right. The issue is, for me, I try to consider what is the movie going for. And yeah, I feel like the movie did what it was going for really well. Like, it felt like a character study about this guy that does crazy stuff. Yeah, so 9 out of 10.
Yeah, and it totally was. And I think it did a really good job of, like, we all feel like we know that character. Not only do we feel like we know that character really well, but we also, like, are able to have an interesting discussion, very little about the plot and very much about a character for an hour, a solid hour. So, yeah. Like, that's a very well-made character. I'm giving it also a solid 9, just shaving off a little bit because of there are definitely some dry spots, and they could have made a cleaner cut, more concise movie and still have the exact same impact with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So here's my wondering, though. Would it have the same impact?
Well, I think it would.
Some parts, you know.
But I think there are definitely parts in the movie that are just, they feel a little bit filler. Like, they're not crucial to his character.
I feel like, I just wanted to take it off from the beginning. I feel like
no, definitely not. Like I said, I wouldn't just lop off the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that wasn't what I meant.
Yeah, no, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
That's a little silly.
Yeah.
Just a little.
You dork. So overall, around the table, it's basically a 9.
Yeah, it was a solid movie.
Definitely. Yeah.
I was wondering what we rated the other movies now.
When you were here, both, I think The Birds was like a 3, or The Birds, The Silence. I think The Silence was like a 3. Velvet Buzzsaw was like a 4. Hellboy was like a 7.
Or 7. Right?
Yeah, we watched the original Hellboy.
Not the new one.
And The Thing was like 8.5 or something.
The Thing got pretty good ratings.
I recently watched Alien for the first time, and I got pretty strong Thing vibes from it.
From Alien?
Yeah.
Which one came out first?
Alien came out in 79.
Aliens
from
the 70s.
In 79.
Okay. And then The
Thing was 82. Yeah. And they also it also had some Predator vibes. Because, like, all three of those movies are, like, about an unknown alien hunting down a group of people in, like, an isolated area. So, and picking them off one by one.
The difference to The Thing is the fact that the alien was the people, too.
Right, like doing it in different ways, but I think they're all pretty similar. Like you could, it would be just to compare them to one another.
Right,
I think, and I would say The Thing's the best actually out of all three of them. So good call on that one because I really did like that movie.
Yeah.
What do you got for us over there? What is this?
Oh well, okay. First, before we did this, I was just curious because we were talking like Maggie Gyllenhaal, and before we really got started on this, we were talking about just like some actors and actresses. I'm just curious, like, if you have one or even like an actor and an actress off the top of your head, like who you think is the most overrated?
The most overrated off like, the top of my head.
Yeah.
Overrated actor.
Because for me personally, like, I mean, there are a few. I think a big one for me in recent years has been Jennifer Lawrence. I don't think she's that great. But yeah. Everybody's so in love with her. And like, she was kind of cute and fun at first, but I feel like she's just not that interesting and she's not that phenomenal of an actress. So she's one person who I think. Another person who people rave about a lot is Bradley Cooper. I'm not particularly fond of him.
So Silver Linings Playbook was just not kind
of. I haven't even. Yeah, I've seen part of that and I wasn't interested.
Modern movies or
anybody? I mean, it could be anybody. If there's somebody from the 50s you think is overrated, fine.
I think George Clooney would be
okay.
Overrated?
I think he's overrated.
I think he's a good actor. I'll have to disagree with you on that.
One of the movies that you and I watched was Hail Caesar. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I like him in
the original one.
I don't know if it was just because of that movie. It seems like he's overacting. And even when he has his own Batman, it feels
very I think that in Hail Caesar he's supposed to be overacting cuz that's the feel of the movie.
I would say probably and people may not like this very much. I would say probably Jim Carrey.
Ooh, that's
I
that's
really
that's a
don't
good
like
one.
Jim Carrey.
I don't like Jim
I don't
Carrey
think
at all.
Good.
He's not funny. He's weird.
Well, but it's not just that he's weird. It's just that like the projects he's done,
they're not that great.
His performance in them, and I just don't have that high of an opinion.
Another one I would give you, and that makes me think of that, is Adam Sandler. I like a couple of Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, I definitely
on the
agree
whole,
with that.
I don't think he's
I'm
that
not
funny.
An Adam Sandler
Every
fan.
Once in a while, there's an Adam Sandler movie that I go, all right, he was funny in that.
Well, yeah,
but most of the time, he's not that good.
It's too much.
It is. It's trying too hard to be funny with like really stupid humor. I just don't think he's that great. So, Aaron, is there anybody you've got?
You guys had... Well, I thought you were going to actor and actress. Or
oh, I was just
I don't know if I have an actress off the top of my head.
Maybe Jennifer Lawrence or Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson I would actually probably agree with.
Yeah. Like, yeah, she's not that great.
She's not a very good actress.
And I... It's... Maybe I'm... I don't know. Maybe this doesn't count as overrated. But, like, there are some actresses that I just... If I'm watching a movie with them in it, I just don't give a shit about them at all in that movie. And, like, Scarlett Johansson, that's, like, every movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, she's
in.
A very...
Even in, like, The Prestige. Like, she's one of the characters in The Prestige, and I'm like, oh, it's her scene? Snore. Yeah, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's, like, just a filler-in character, you know? It's... Even with Black Widow,
I don't
sometimes like in The Prestige, she's not filler. She's like decently important, but like I just don't care. Like it's just boring.
That's how I felt with her as Black Widow, and I mean that's before we even get into all the ones. Like I genuinely liked the first Avengers movie.
Her first appearance in it was Iron Man 2, and I felt like she's barely important.
To me, she's another one of those people you want to talk about overacting. I feel like she's somebody who's overacting because I don't feel like she's ever a very believable character when I see her. She's like, to me, she feels like she is acting when she's in a movie.
Ryan Reynolds.
I could see that.
Yeah, good. I know. What about you, Aaron?
Robin Williams.
Glad he's dead.
I'm not a huge Robin Williams fan, but what I've seen of him, I think... I actually haven't seen that much.
Oh, okay. I was like, I really
I was like, what
Robin
I've seen, I haven't seen that much, but what I've seen, I feel like it's pretty good.
It's like, let's just, he's already dead.
Aladdin sucked balls.
Yeah, I'd kill myself after that.
Dead Poet Society, worst movie ever.
Ever.
Well, now it's a dead poet. Dun, dun, dun.
Too soon.
Who's your for real one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of like that kind of stuff. Maybe like film franchises, like the Fast and Furious.
Oh, those aren't even real
movies. Oh, there you go. There's another overrated actor, Vin Diesel.
There's a lot of things I feel that way about.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Is he overrated though? I've never heard of
him. Who, Vin Diesel or The Rock?
Heard anybody
rated? Dwayne Johnson is actually kind of overrated, I think, in my opinion.
I think it's just...
What movie did I... Oh, so I watched... last year I watched Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. Kevin Hart, I actually think, is pretty funny. Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I would tell you to go watch...
or at least his stand-up comedy is out.
His comedy is over.
Oh, shoot. What's it? He's in a movie with...
Yeah, it's stadium comedy.
Did you see the movie he was in with Bryan Cranston, where Bryan Cranston plays the quadriplegic?
Oh, no, I haven't.
That was actually a good movie. Just a second here. I need to give a shout-out to this movie, because that movie surprised the hell out of me. It was a really good movie. Where he plays like The Upside with him and Bryan Cranston, where he's kind of a fringe guy, like kind of a not a hood guy, but like just kind of like immature, irresponsible, whatever. He just applies for this caretaker job because he needs the money.
He's Rick.
Yeah, he's Rick, and he ends up with this really rich quadriplegic that he has to take care of, and so it like forms his relationship and helps him become a better person. But he's genuinely funny in that movie, and I don't know. But Dwayne Johnson, I don't think is very funny.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was just curious because I've been just thinking about that recently. It's just like there's a lot of, I don't know. I feel
up
there's people that just get a lot of hype.
Well,
and aren't
they
that
think
great?
That you know the name will get a lot of people in a movie, and then you know you can get these big name actors, but a lot of those times the movie flops because it's just a terrible script.
Or the movie isn't good either, but for some reason the movie's also popular.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Which I feel like we're seeing a lot of recently, not in Star Wars and in
Marvel
and just in a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
it's becoming a lot more about the money than
it used
to.
Well, it's just because it's about the name. I mean, the last three Star Wars were, I mean, with the exception of maybe Force Awakens, they've been terrible, and they're just like, hey, it's Star Wars.
We need to pump the brakes because that'll start a conversation, and we just shouldn't.
It was just a curiosity question.
We should have a podcast just dedicated to state of Star Wars as it is. Yeah,
not even a specific movie. Star Wars podcast episode.
Save us.
All right, for kicks, I'm not funny enough for this, but you guys are all funny.
That's what I think is overrated.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda, I hate it so much.
Hey, stop! Stop it. We can't. We can't.
Bradley's going to cry. We can't. Over here.
But real quick, I actually agree with Aaron. But no more.
I'm a minority here. Yeah, all
right. I'm not funny enough to answer these. I'm going to read them to you guys. Basically, it's kind of like a almost like a Cards Against Humanity type vibe. So I'll give you. I draw like two random like two cards.
What is this game called?
It's called Say It.
Say It. And, from Game Right.
No, say the name of the.
Just say it.
Like,
oh, thank you. Shut up.
So I'll read it to you. It's like a, it'll be like something, whatever that, and then there'll be something that describes it. So like,
that's not very good.
I don't know. So they've got like something ancient in the lost and found. It's not a very funny combination, but it's something like that. And then what you guys have to do is you have to just whatever.
Oh, so
like,
you're going to draw two things that form something that, and we have to
form a situation, a prompt. And then you guys have to come up with something that fits that description.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. So first one is something odd found in your soup.
Dildo.
You win. How does this work? Okay, is it like person to like make the best?
Okay, well, I should clarify. Yes, you can always. That would qualify.
I think I just say dildo every time.
Okay, that's what I was gonna. Okay,
more cans of soup.
let me add a
Christopher Nolan staring back at me.
Okay, let me add like a qualifier here. Something that makes sense. So like yes, you could say a dildo for all of them, and it would be funny.
It depends on where you are.
Okay, but think about it. I guess more realistically, because that's part of what would make.
I don't know.
Oh, Brokeback Mountain.
Oh my gosh.
We've come full circle. Okay, so that one doesn't count. And
why doesn't it count?
Because
I like my answer.
It's not a legitimate thing that would be in your soup.
Are you saying it wouldn't be in your soup? I bet there's a lot of like lesbian chefs out there that are just angry right now. Though.
Yeah. Cock meat soup.
All right. Oh, that was one. Okay. Something tiny you shouldn't rub or pet.
Oh, his penis. Bradley's penis.
Yes, my penis. Jake Gyllenhaal's penis.
I wish that was like my ringtone. Like, yeah.
I can give you the audio.
No, not even his. Bradley's penis.
Yeah. All third person.
Anybody else going to give one?
Oh, I can't. Yeah, that was crazy.
All right. Something slimy you wish would grow on trees.
No, I'm really considering
Jabba the Hutt. Just ectoplasm in general.
Okay.
The ghost from Ghostbusters.
I got nothing.
Okay.
All across those memes.
Something big that tastes good.
Oh, Bradley's penis.
My penis. Your discretion advised.
We supply anything that even comes remotely close to
Yes, my penis. It's like that episode of How I Met Your Mother with Barney.
Oh, that one episode with Barney?
Yeah, that one episode with
Barney.
All the other episodes
with
Barney.
So Barney's getting married to Robin, and then he's trying to give the playbook to Ted, and he's like, okay, I have to live vicariously through Ted now because I can't use these playbooks. So he gets into the bar, and he's like, okay, you're a UPS man, and you're going to deliver this package. And he's like, let me guess, I have to say my penis after the end of it. And he's like, attaboy. And he walks up to this woman, and he says, are you Lisa? And she's like, no. And he's like, oh, I was told to deliver this package to the most beautiful and the beautiful girl in the bar, and her name would be Lisa, so it must be you. And he's like, well, I'm not Lisa, but I could help you find her. And he's like, okay. Well, after you're done helping me deliver this package, maybe you can help me deliver another one of my own, my penis. And then she slaps him.
All right.
So,
All right.
Well, it's beautiful.
Something edible that might make you faint.
Something
weed.
Edible.
I was going to say, brownies.
Shrooms.
Yeah, I was going to say, the most recent ordinance is passed in Oregon.
Yeah. Cocaine. Methane.
Something adorable at an amusement park.
Yoda.
Oh, Ben Stiller. Wait, that's a museum, not an amusement park.
That was instinct. That was like first thought. Yeah,
I was thinking museum, not amusement park.
It's like, what's an average Jew, Ben Stiller?
He's a Jew.
Average
Checks
Jew.
Out.
Just an average one, yeah.
Just an average.
Well, wouldn't Aaron be our average Jew?
I think I'm above average.
He's no Ben Stiller. You know?
I feel like the spectrum is like Aaron to Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. And I feel like Ben Stiller really does kind of fall in the middle there.
Wait, yeah. So I'm the very lowest?
I didn't say. I'll just let people draw their own conclusions from my spectrum.
Is he not? Okay, whatever.
He's not the Fiddler on the Roof.
No,
tradition
he's the
is.
Guy that you're talking
okay,
about,
yeah.
Though.
Go ahead.
Is he bad or good?
You'll have to watch
something
the movie.
Dangerous oh, that you soak in water.
Oh, those little foam dinosaur things.
Those are how dangerous?
Well, they, oh, get me some.
Russian spies.
Oh.
Oh, that's good. I'm confused. What was
do you remember
again?
The prompt?
Something dangerous that you soak in water.
Oh, that's awesome.
That wins.
Oh, man.
Wasn't that a huge controversy about, like, using waterboarding as a punishment?
I think it was recently.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just baptizing him.
If the Pope does it, it's fine. The Pope waterboarding a Russian spy.
Something odorous that might fall out of the trash.
Anything that's in the trash?
That's actually a really good corpse. Set of cards,
Did you shuffle these?
No, they're just... Something soft that you don't want to step on.
Hmm.
Children.
But what if I do want to step on it?
Depends on the kid.
Something soft.
Our society.
Oh, I would say people's feelings. But personally, I guess that wouldn't fit with me. I would love to smash their feelings.
All right. Something flimsy you don't want in the house.
My penis.
Bradley's penis.
Every time.
I feel like that's also something soft you don't want to step on.
Yeah. Full circle.
Something athletic that Bradley's you wouldn't penis. Want your mother to see.
Bradley's penis. I feel like we can't play this anymore. Just all the answers.
Well, that's what I was trying to avoid as I was saying.
How
like,
could they not? Like, this is what this game is for.
This is just a big game of dick jokes. Let's face it.
Something disgusting in the sauna.
I mean...
90-year-old Bradley's penis.
Hey! Bring time travel into it.
All right,
it's not time travel. It's just eventually that will happen.
Yeah, it will.
What do you call that?
The future?
You're traveling into time.
But you're not going there.
What do you mean going?
My future.
The Earth is also moving, so you are going there. Someday we will be in the spot where he's 90.
You're assuming.
No, I'm going to die. Right. I'm going to die at like 48.
That's an oddly specific number.
All right. Something crazy that you would name your pet after.
That's a good... Hillary
dead,
Clinton.
A dead pet.
Deadhead?
Dead pet.
Dead pet.
So you would name your pet after dead a dead pet. Pet?
It's kind of crazy.
No,
naming
yeah,
your pet
name.
After yourself.
Yeah. Junior.
Junior.
Something curvy you get at a carnival.
Oh, Angelina Jolie.
I'm glad I didn't say that what I was going to say.
Bradley's penis?
Yes.
curvy. Fat Albert.
At the carnival.
Yes.
All right.
Something solid you don't want in your hair.
I'm not going to say it.
Nails.
Boy.
I want to hear what Aaron's was.
Bradley's penis.
Crossed my mind.
I was looking for something.
All I can think of now. And I don't really like the scenario where I'm only thinking about Bradley's penis.
Yeah. Most people don't, but, you know.
Let's see.
It's what's on everybody's mind.
This one's too easy. Something green that you've been caught with.
Well, not in Oregon.
Money.
Ha! Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
My card.
How about this one? Something plastic in Las Vegas.
Oh, Shipper. Fake diamonds.
Fake penises from the transvestites roaming the streets of Las Vegas. I forgot we were talking about that before the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. Something rotten in a baby stroller.
Denmark.
I feel like we're done.
Yeah.
What? Something's rotten in Denmark.
In a baby stroller?
Heck yeah. Gosh.
That doesn't even make sense.
Hamlet?
No, I get it, but why would it be in a baby stroller?
Why wouldn't it be in a baby stroller, you tell me?
All right, something bad in the pool. It's nice and vague for you.
Dead baby.
Denmark.
And we're done.
Oh, and on that bombshell.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Remember, it's limited to everything, so.
That's true.
That is true. That is
true. All right, and next we have a neo-Nazi we're going to interview.
Yeah, my name is Aaron Lester.
And I'm a Jew.
I hate myself.
Well, that was a good time. I feel like that we had a good discussion about that movie.
Yeah.
Like, actually even better than I thought we would have. Especially, like, just considering the fact that we were just talking about the character really more than anything else. So, yeah. No, pretty solid, and it's a good movie. So definitely a high recommend on Nightcrawler.
Yes, for sure.
If you like dark movies, it's not a happy movie at like ever, at any point in the time is it happy.
Did
so,
it have bad lighting, or was it something else?
Stop.
Is this a joke?
Is that a dark
movie? Oh.
He's trying. He's trying too hard. Oh,
sorry.
I'm going to cut this
more
5 seconds
like a face
ago.
Slap. That's okay. No, I was gonna say that it's definitely a very dark movie. It's not horror. It's not even really a thriller. It's just very, because it's a pretty slow building film, and you kind of know where it's going as you watch it.
It's just a dark drama.
It's just very dark.
It's a little suspenseful at times.
Yeah, mostly it's just sinister, is what it really is. Like, it says it's a thriller on Netflix. I wouldn't really consider it a thriller. But
no, I wouldn't call it a thriller at all.
We've had a lot of unthrilling thrillers on this podcast.
Yeah, another one.
I consider it more of a thriller than a freaking...
What Lies Beneath? What Lies Beneath?
Yeah, actually.
No, What Lies Beneath is more thrilling than
Velvet
this.
Velvet Buzzsaw and the other one.
The Silence.
The Silence.
Our two unthrilling thrillers, yeah.
This is the third one. So our trilogy of unthrilling thrillers.
I think it's got some thrilling.
But you wouldn't call it a thriller. No. You wouldn't categorize it as a thriller.
No, I could, like a suspenseful movie. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely...
And that's a trait. That's not a genre.
Yeah,
it's definitely not a movie that has you on the edge of your seat or feeling like there's a lot of suspense in this.
I was on the edge of my seat for some... Like, when Rick died?
Yeah.
But that's kind of the only part that I think caught me off guard at all. I think the rest of it is... Even
it's just
if it's
entirely unconventional.
It's unconventional, for sure. Yeah, I would say more than anything, if you're going into it, don't be looking for, like, a thriller... so much as just something that's going to be
and don't be looking pretty... for a stereotypical story.
No, it's either. Just very heavy subject matter is what it really is. There's
it's a thinker.
Yeah, for definitely.
One for the kids.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, take the whole family.
Ages 10 and up.
Mm-hmm.
Cut.
See you next year.
See you next Tuesday.
You think that Mexican food was authentic before the cops got shot in there?
Huh?
The restaurant.
It was a Chinese restaurant.
Chinese,
you think that was authentic Chinese food?
It's probably not authentic Mexican food.
Our friendship was built on these guys.